Hello, and welcome to another extra episode of VC Mitellini. In the light of the events in Crete, for which I already published an episode last week where we talked to somebody on the ground, you can find it also on our Spotify and CBA accounts, I wanted to go a little bit more in depth on this stop on migration for people that are coming overseas from the African continent. In order to do that, I spoke with Garifalia Milona, who is working for the organization PICUM and is currently based in Brussels. She is also a lawyer who is specialized in these kind of things. I approached her for an interview to get myself better informed and understand what is the essence of this controversial recently passed stop. I hope the interview is as informative for you as it was for me. Thank you very much for agreeing to this interview. Would you like to introduce yourself to the audience?
So yeah, my name is Garifalia. I'm a Greek lawyer and I work as advocacy officer for PICUM, which stands for the Platform for International Cooperation on Undocumented Migrants. We are a European network of over 160 organizations which all work together to ensure that people without documents enjoy their basic rights in Europe and living in dignity. PICUM itself as an organization is based in Brussels, which is where I'm currently based, but the organizations that make up the network are located all over Europe. We generally focus a lot on advocacy and research, and we try to push for more humane solutions to the challenges faced by undocumented people that already live in Europe, or those trying to come to Europe for work or other reasons. And one of my main areas of focus are migration enforcement policies, which is basically issues like detention, deportation, and also criminalization.
And I mean, a major enforcement policy right now in Greece is this temporary stop on accepting migrants that arrive from Africa by sea. It seems extremely symbolic and populist to me on the surface, but I was wondering if that's true. Could you explain maybe a little bit more in depth about what this actually means and what it is meant to do?
In July, we saw that the Greek government introduced what they're calling an emergency law that basically suspends the registration of asylum applications for 3 months, targeting specifically people arriving by sea from North Africa. So what that means is that essentially anyone coming through these maritime routes cannot register for asylum in Greece, which means no filing for your application, no processing, and no interviews. New arrivals are also subject to summary arrest, detention, and deportation, all of which are being conducted without registration or an individual assessment of people's circumstances. And moreover, under this particular law, and according to the wording of the law and what we see on the justification of the Greek government used the Minister of Migration to pass this law in the parliament, people are meant to be deported either to the country of origin, which is the country of the nationality, or the country they departed from. Which in this case, most of this case will be Libya, because this is currently the route that people are taking to arrive to Greece and basically to arrive to Crete. The government justified this measure by pointing out to Article 15 of the European Convention of Human Rights, which allows for countries that are part of the convention to derogate from their obligation to secure and protect certain rights that are enshrined in the convention in situations of war or public emergency that threatens the life of the nation. And the law was tabled after the Greek parliament voted on it a couple of weeks ago with quite a lot of majority. But the thing is that even in an emergency, there are some core rights that cannot be suspended. Things like protection from torture, the right to life, the principle of non-refoulement, which prevents deporting people to a country where they might face harm. So overall, the problem with this decision is that it undermines these protections. And it's also very hard to argue that we actually have to do with a situation of emergency as it's being presented currently that justifies such drastic measures. And basically, in any case, Greece still has some legal obligations under both international and EU law that cannot be ignored, even in situations like this.
Would you then categorize this as symbolic?
It certainly is. I think it has to do with the general direction that the Greek migration asylum policy it has taken. It comes as a result of some certain geopolitical tensions at the moment. I mean, it's pretty clear in the statements from government officials that we want to send a message to people that Greece is not a hotel, or we want to send them a message to smugglers. So in light of trying to basically deter migration, we see how basically the law itself is being instrumentalized in order to pass this very controversial measures that Greece is currently taking.
I remember in 2020 that something similar seemed to have happened on Lesbos, specifically, because I was there and I saw it. Is it similar to this?
Yeah, it's definitely the precedent that was set already back in March 2020, where Turkey basically said that we won't stop people from coming to Europe. Previously, there was this EU-Turkey deal where Turkey was basically responsible for keeping migrants on its territory, not allowing them to go to Europe. And at that point, we had these statements from Turkey, and Greece decided to pass this, again, emergency decree that would not allow people without documents to register for asylum. And what ended up happening in the end was that people were left in this sort of like situation of legal limbo. They were stuck in inhumane detention conditions, and basically nothing was solved. No one was actually returned to Turkey because Turkey wasn't accepting any returns. And basically people's cases were delayed. All this unnecessary suffering was caused without serving any other purpose, like, as you said, maybe appealing to this populism. It was just a political maneuver and did not result in anything concrete.
It also did not result in deportations, as far as I can remember correctly. And in this case, they are putting the emphasis also on that, which I think, as you mentioned before, violates numerous human rights agreements. Do you think that will happen this time? And how would they go about that?
First of all, maybe we can start by explaining what sort of violations this procedure, this decision basically entails. First off, of course, obviously the right to asylum is very shamelessly being violated. And same goes for the principle of non-refoulement, which are both very fundamental protections under international and EU law. And these are rights that cannot really be restricted, and they take precedence over any national law. When it comes to the right to asylum, as I said, it is being very blatantly violated in this case, because Greece is obligated to ensure that anyone seeking asylum has access to asylum procedures and that their application is properly assessed. And this obligation is very clear in EU law. We see it in the Charter of Fundamental Rights, which guarantees the right to asylum, and also the Refugee Convention, which is Greece's is part of, does not allow for states to discriminate against applicants, which is, this is what happens in this case, saying that people arriving from these particular places are not, were not given the chance to apply for asylum. So for the right to asylum without discrimination to work in practice, asylum seekers must be given due process and should have an individual evaluation of their asylum claims. And there's also the separate principle of non-refoulement. They're, of course, very much interconnected, but it goes beyond granting or not granting people a refugee status. It goes beyond asylum. And what is this principle? This principle prohibits states from removing people to a place where they could be at risk of persecution, torture, ill treatment, or other fundamental rights violations, or of further transfer to a third state where there would be a real risk of such violations. And it is an absolute principle, cannot be breached for any reason. and it applies whenever a state has jurisdiction, meaning wherever it has control over people being present in its territory. Again, enshrined very clearly in primary EU law, like the Treaty of the Functioning of the EU. It's again reiterated in Article 19 of the Charter of Fundamental Rights, which also forbids collective expulsions, which is basically mass deportations. And Article 5 of the Return Directive, which is applied in this particular case when we have to do with basically deportation procedures, which stresses the importance of ensuring people are sent to places where their risks, their rights will be at risk. I'm sorry. So this principle requires for its case to be looked at individually. It means that deportation should never be carried out without thoroughly assessing the risks for each person involved. And importantly, people should also be allowed to stay while their appeal, supposedly that they are given a chance to appeal such deportation decisions. While their appeal is being processed, they should be allowed to stay, which is called what we call the suspensive effect of appeal procedure. And on top of these two principles, we also have a series of rights that are linked to detention, which are bound to be violated in this particular case because of the circumstances under which these people will be arrested and are currently being arrested and detained and then, in theory, deported. Same goes for detention. Detention should also be justified on an individual basis. People should be informed of the reasons behind their detention in a language they understand. And there also must be access to judicial oversight to prevent arbitrary detention, which is again prohibited by EU international law. This means that those detained should have a real possibility to challenge their detention. And again, according both to national law, to Greek law, and to EU secondary law, which is again the Return Directive, detention should only be used as the last resort, to be proportionate, when it's used for the purpose of effecting returns, as is also expressed explicitly in this new law. There should be a real possibility of deportation, which means you should be actually, as a state, able to return people where you plan to return them. So this law, all in all, puts people in a terrible position. They end up stuck in a legal limbo again. They will be detained. They were unable to seek any form of redress or challenge their detention. Because we've also, it's very well documented what are the detention conditions, both in reception and identification centers in Greece, which are places of de facto detention, where basically the country does not call it detention per se, it calls it deprivation of liberty, which is just a nice way to say detention, basically. And yeah, same for the pre-removal detention centers in Greece, where people go specifically for after having like a deportation order to be deported. And they're stuck in a system where they won't be allowed to have access to their basic rights. And I think it's also important to link it to some other developments. Like, I'm sure you have heard a lot about the Pact on Migration and Asylum and how problematic it is and how it is bound to also bring a series of violations. But even according to this instrument that will enter into application from 2026, even according to this, we don't really see the possibility to stay, to suspend asylum. There's nowhere you can do that. What is basically allowed in similar cases of emergency is only expedited procedures, basically. You still have to give people the possibility to register their asylum claims, but you are supposed to process them in a fast way. So even on that framework, this does not make any sense. But even in the article that Greece is using in order to justify this measure, the article of allowing states, you know, to derogate from the rights they have to protect in similar situations, even then it's clearly written that some core rights, such as an obligation, to prohibit ill treatment and torture, Article 3 of the European Convention on Human Rights, you cannot derogate from these rights. There are still some very clear boundaries that you cannot cross. So in short, it seems that this law has no real legal foundation whatsoever.
I mean, it seems to be rather obvious. Libya is not a safe country. The Libyan Coast Guard is not a safe group of people to be around generally. Are there any sort of like external EU monitoring or evaluation mechanisms that kick into place when something like this happens?
Well, we definitely had reactions from like international bodies, the Commission for Human Rights, the Council of Europe, who have already raised concerns over the legality of these measures, along with all the other, of course, national actors. But even in this case, we saw the Greek government moved forward with the law anyway, after all these independent monitoring mechanisms had already explained that this should not happen, it should not pass. What we will probably end up seeing, which is also what we saw last time in 2020, will be that some of these cases, if some of these individual cases manage to have some legal representation, manage to have access to a lawyer, if they move forward, they will end up in national courts. I'm hoping that at least on a national level, the Greek courts will challenge this this measure, or you know, at least protect individual cases before it reaches a European level. Because if it goes to the European Court of Human Rights, it means that Greek justice does not respond adequately, basically, because you have to exhaust all national measures, all domestic measures before ending up at the European Court of Human Rights. But yes, unfortunately, looking back at how Greek justice and the Greek courts handled the last suspension of asylum back in March 2020, I'm not particularly optimistic. In those cases where, as we said, asylum applications were suspended for people arriving from Turkey, we saw a lot of national cases where the courts ruled that the measures were basically exceptional, time limited. We didn't see any particular adequate assessing of whether there was a real risk of refoulement for these people, or whether it was actually possible to return people to Turkey, because it wasn't. There was also like a clear lack of assessment of people's vulnerabilities in specific cases. So yeah, all of these decisions were quite disappointing. And what happened is that some of these cases ended up at the European Court of Human Rights. I believe most of them are still pending. I'm not I don't think we'll reach a clear decision on these cases. But hopefully there will be a clear challenge to this law before we reach a European level.
Yeah, I hope so too. I had another small side question. I'm really curious about the specific wording of this stop, because it was when the first reports come in, and also there's some rumors going on among migrants themselves. It was a lot to do with all asylum applications have been suspended, which was not the case, but it was rather difficult to understand that it's only from sea and only from the African continent. It seems to me that that does not make a lot of sense. Do you think that the wording was meant to specifically not provoke too much the European Union, or to was made solely based on the fact that apparently in Crete there is a quote-unquote crisis going on?
Well, I think it was obviously targeting the situation in Greece, and particularly arrivals from Libya. I think it was also clearly tied this recent, you know, when we had like both Greek officials and other EU officials from Malta, Italy, like the Commissioner for Migration, also trying to, anyways, they were not accepted on the grounds of Libya, at least half of the ground of the country. And as a response to this, Greek government was referring to instrumentalization again of migration, as if like people from Libya were sent intentionally to Greece. And yeah, And this is why we had this invocation of this particular emergency laws to justify this fabricated situation of crisis. Or as I said, we can't really talk about crisis because it's not like this is anything new. Arrivals in Crete have been happening since 2023. The Greek state was aware that this is currently the route people are taking. It was just unprepared. It also used in its wording for the justification of this law the fact that there's no reception center in Crete, which of course cannot be used as an argument to justify that there is an emergency that you could not have predicted, basically. And I think it's also pretty interesting that I didn't really see that mentioned a lot, that this particular law was an amendment to a very, it was an article, and it was an amendment to a very irrelevant law to migration. It was something about procurement of like positions in public services or something. I don't remember exactly the wording, but it didn't really have to do with migration. So maybe this was also a way to try to pass this a bit on the sly to not be noticed. But fortunately, we have a lot of reactions from everyone on national level. And yeah.
What do you think this amendment could mean for the future of migrants and migration law on, let's say, international, at European level?
Yeah, so it does send a very serious precedent. And it's even more concerning that this is not the first time we're seeing this. Again, same thing that happened like back in 2020 in the situation regarding migrants arriving from Turkey. And again, we didn't see any strong European response to this. I think it was actually validated again. Like, I remember we had some statements by Ursula von der Leyen about like Greece being the shield of Europe, or you know, basically the blessings of the EU. But what I find even more worrying is the fact that these policies do increasingly criminalize the very existence of migrants. So we have administrative processes such as applying for asylum, which are being treated like criminal offenses. And people arriving are also being framed as criminals, and we see that this has been normalized a lot in public discourse, and it is dangerous because this kind of policies, along with the rhetoric that is coming now from Greek officials and EU officials, they play on fear and anxiety, and they're basically very very misleading, as border control should never come at the expense of a country's obligations, basically, or the protection of human rights. And I think that the real issue at the end of the day is that these are not realistic responses in the complexities of migration. Like, we see how people just chose another route to arrive to Europe. It's not like anything would change. They're not effective. What they will lead to is just increasing more irregular migration, forcing people to take more dangerous journeys, forcing them to live in the situations of legal limbo. And what would actually help is ensuring that asylum and migration processes in general are humane and dignified, and provide people with alternative, lawful ways to resolve their migration status. This is what would actually prevent the exclusion and suffering that we're seeing now. And when it comes to connecting these issues to the bigger picture, I think we should mention that laws like this set also a precedent, a generalized precedent, that countries like Greece can opt out of their legal obligations. And we should also be making connections with general rule of law issues in Greece, tied to a myriad other issues beyond migration. Because if this becomes the norm, it could have serious consequences for human rights protection across Europe, and not only for the most marginalized groups or the groups that face the biggest vulnerabilities at the moment, like migrant populations.
What could people do, like, that are not lawyers or researchers or something, like the regular people? What can they do to act against a law like this?
I think the first thing to do is just continue paying attention, especially in situations like this when we see that, you know, there are measures that are trying to be pushed like away from public's attention, or I think there's also less and less attention maybe on migration issues in Greece internally. Like, very serious violations are becoming normalized. Such rhetoric is also becoming normalized against migrants in general. And yeah, calling for more extreme measures that derogate from the rule of law. So of course, continue paying attention, continue mobilizing potentially against such measures on a more political level. And don't assume that these issues are only linked to migration. As I said, this is a generalized rule of law issue. It's not only happening in Greece, but it's happening all over Europe, where we see we have to deal with more repressive environments, both in terms of like civic space and protecting human rights, and trying to work towards more inclusive societies. So it's important to make the link.
Okay, thank you very much. I don't have any more questions. If you have anything to add.
Thank you. No, I think this is all from my side.
This episode was produced and edited by me, Toby, with special thanks to Peekum. You can find our other shows and programs on cba.at and Spotify under VC Mitalini. We are also active on Instagram. Thank you for listening.